Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Can We Please Talk podcast. As always, I'm Mike Leon.
And enjoy the holidays. I'm Nick Saveri.
That's right. Happy holidays, everybody. I love when we do this kind of episode because normally I get into the on the program today. But today, Nick and I are going to always, as we do every year, 3 years now, Nick, that we've been doing this show. And we always look back at some of the guests that we've had on, some of the topics, things that are irking us, that are making us smile, all of that and more is the subject for today's show. Nick, what's going on this holiday season? What's the holidays like in the Saveri household? Take me inside of it a little bit there.
Yeah, it's really just about our girls, you know, enjoying Christmas together. You know, they're young enough that, and for any parent with little ones, the holidays are just more fun with them. I imagine my parents, you know, when my sister and I, you know, were teenagers, you know, the joy is still there, but, you know, the gifts just feel different and the whole, you know, gift exchange isn't quite the same. But the magic of Christmas morning when your little ones come running down the stairs. It's funny enough, I was looking at, so every Christmas, you know, I always take video of the girls coming down the stairs. Right. You know, ever since our oldest was probably, I want to say maybe a year and a half or 2 years old. So, you know, we were watching these videos recently and it's really cute to see like every year what has changed. And this year, especially for our three-year-old, she's much more cognizant of gifts and Santa and really all those things. So she's already excited, you know, just, you know, trying to start giving away things that have already been wrapped and stuff. So it's just a fun time for us. I imagine for you all something similar with the little ones at home.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I mean, mines are going to be 5 and 3, so 4 and 2 right now. And the two-year-old gets everything and understanding. And, you know, we just saw Santa Claus recently at a holiday party of my friend was throwing here. My buddy, shout out to my buddy Carlos, who listens to the program. And they were shouting out the show there and kind of promoting it internally. We're going to get into that in a future episode because some good stuff coming out of there of focus groups with voters and things like that. That could potentially come out of it. But for that, we leave that into 2024. Let's reflect back on 2023, Nick, because, you know, this episode is right in between Christmas, New Year's, and, you know, at Thanksgiving time, we always do, what are you thankful for? But this time, we're going to kind of look back at some of the things that have happened, not only on this show, world events, politics. You and I are covering all of this stuff. And we're out there using our platforms and talking a little bit more about not only the political cycle, but, you know, stories making headlines. And the biggest thing obviously happening with the war in Ukraine, the war in the Middle East, we've got an election coming up in 2024. When you look back at 2023, specifically for our show, like what are some things that stand out to you and even some guests that have stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the broad level, I think it's, you know, continuing to be the next leap forward. You know, one of the most tangible things that has come out of this year really, you know, has just been where you've taken off, you know, on television. That really obviously it promotes our brand. Let's be honest about that for a minute. But it's also, I'm particularly excited for you because not just because it's you as a friend of mine, and as someone who really knows what they're talking about on television, but you know, it's just nice to see a voice on TV that's not trying to lean one way or the other. And I always smile when I get a chance when you send the clips to me or, you know, I see it on the internet, because you know, it's a person who knows what they're talking about, but also just a person who just plays it fair. So I've always
appreciate that.
Of course. And it's, and I look at that because I think of, like, you know, a couple of years ago when we started the show, and folks, you know, at last check, we're at now, this episode's probably 193. When we get to 200, I think, yeah, we'll pop champagne or something, but that'll be early in 2024. But you know, this year is really, I think it's kind of narrowing our political lens in many ways. You know, this year, particularly for a lot of the debate coverage that you've been doing, that we've talked about on this show, you know, we've been really in lockstep with the TV networks, really. I mean, between your appearances, what happens on this program, I go back to the first debate that we had this year that you, Maura, and Marie broke down. And that's becoming kind of where we are, you know, really sort of moving along with the times politically. And it's just really narrowed the scope of the show. But, you know, as you asked at the start about guests that stood out to me, you know, the first person that, in full disclosure, folks, you know, Mike and I have this conversation, like, what guests do we think about in a given year when we celebrate, you know, in December, as we wrap up the year, that really stood out to us. And the first name that came to me was Nora Noose. Nora had written the book 24 Hours in Charlottesville. And that particularly stands out to me now as we're seeing the numbers from Trump, you know, most alarmingly, you know, hearing some of the jokes he's made about being a dictator. But really, we think of the organizations that are really pro-Trump, you know, that are white nationalist organizations. And we don't sound enough of an alarm. And sometimes I see some reporting that sort of talks about it. But, you know, what we saw in 2017, the echoes of that still ring now, you know, as Trump is far and away the leading vote getter for the Republican Party. And I thought Nora's story about what happened in Charlottesville in I believe it in the fall of 2017 still rings true now. In the reporting you've done for this book and just your awareness of sort of national events, are we putting enough emphasis? I mean, we're hearing lip service, or we're hearing that at the federal level, sometimes at the states. But in your estimation, are we providing the same level of or giving it the same level of attention as we would if, to be bluntly honest, the people marching in the streets of Charlottesville look more like me and less like a lighter skinned person?
Like me. Yes. I mean, absolutely. That is the kind of the crux of the larger problem here. That we had a war on terror, and it was when it was on brown people. And now we have an enormous terrorist threat. The Department of Homeland Security issued a bulletin that you kind of alluded to, saying this is the most prevalent terrorist threat against America right now. And there isn't the level of public outcry and concern about stopping the threat. But it's also kind of a misnomer to think that it's a new threat. I mean, white nationalist, white supremacist, even just looking in the modern era, terrorism, you know, you go back to Oklahoma City, like this has been growing. And then I don't know how deep into American history you want to get, but this is a country that was formed on white supremacy. And so, of course, you're going to have a problem then when years later, white supremacy is the largest terror threat to the United States. And I'm not just saying that as a, like, in a hypothetical, theoretical idea. I'm saying that our federal government, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, have looked at data and threats and intelligence and said these are the people who are concretely planning attacks and violence on our community.
I really enjoyed the book of Nora's. First, you know, first off, I always get this, you know, did you really read the book? I actually fully read Nora's book because Nora's book reads like a report. It's literally a report of her talking to different people. So as you're reading the book, you hear the character, you see the character's name, excuse me, not character, you know what I mean? Like the police chief she interviewed or the UVA president. And like, you just see all of these different chronological things that happened and how the school wasn't prepared. There was no communication between the police departments of not only the campus police, but like the Virginia State Police. And then also the way that this rally came to be was kind of manipulated because the guy who started it all was a UVA grad. And so he had taken out, I forget how he got, you know, access to be able to do the protest. I mean, you could do a peaceful protest wherever, but then it kind of turned into something else. And then nightfall comes overnight and everyone just kind of retreats. And then they come back in the morning and there's more violence and somebody loses their life over this. And she mentioned in that clip there about, you know, the federal agency sounding the alarm about this. There's been a lot of that this year. And it's something that the FBI director has said, the DHS secretary has said, we got to keep an eye on this. This is what is the new thing that is facing America right now in terms of domestic terrorism. So, I mean, we're going to keep an eye on that for 2024 and more guests that will be subject matter experts in that. Speaking of a subject matter expert, you know, the biggest or coolest guest, I would say, for us this year is the host of The Lead with Jake Tapper over on CNN. Now, my new friend, Jake Tapper. Jake was great because he has this book that he wrote that's about this fictitious family throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s that's kind of in the Senate, and then the daughter becomes a reporter and the son's working for Evel Knievel. And this last book that he wrote, for people watching on YouTube, that's over my left shoulder, All the Demons Are Here. The book kind of interweaves a fictitious character that mirrors Roger Ailes and the rise of Fox News and tabloid journalism. And when Jake was on the show with us, the funniest thing happened because for people, you know, Nick was mentioning this before about peeling back the onion and giving you a little bit of how the sausage is made here. You know, we reach out to networks and their PR teams to schedule a guest like a Jake Tapper, right? So to be able to do that, there's a lot of coordination that goes into that, right? Jake's not just going to go on any old show. And so coordinating that, we sent over some topics we wanted to talk about in addition to the book. And they were kind of like, nah, we don't want to talk about that. So I said, you know what? I'm going to kind of translate it back to the book. And I had asked Jake about, you know, there's a part in the book where this girl is writing an article for the 70s paper. And her editor's like, no one's going to read this. You've got to sex this up. And I asked Jake about how does news right now sex things up without losing the core of the information? Because unfortunately, his network has a certain connotation associated whenever you go out there. And it's because the former president has labeled it as fake news and people tend to gravitate to that. And I asked Jake about that. And I thought his answer was fantastic, the way he kind of framed everything. But how much of when you were writing this, are you sitting there saying, boy, some of these things tend to play out in newsrooms that I'm in right now. And I'm fighting this battle between not sexing it up and just giving people the actual news and information that they need?
It's a great question. The answer is that not at all for me is the truth. In fact, I'm one that's usually arguing that CNN needs to sex things up a little bit more. Not sex it up, but I'm usually arguing like you're burying the lead. You know, like this is the most important thing. And this should be, you know, it should be higher or whatever. Not with my staff, but if I'm reading a digital story. And the truth of the matter is that I've been lucky throughout my career to have been with editors who made me better and news desks that kept me on the straight and narrow. But I see Fox and I read tabloids, and it's not difficult to imagine how it happens. And it's not difficult to imagine, you know, having been in the debates about, look, this is a push and pull that any journalist is familiar with, delivering the accurate information and wanting people to read the story. And what's the best way to pull people in while also staying honest and true? Now, if you work for, you know, the Financial Times, maybe you don't care as much because you're just like, we're just giving, or The Economist is a better example. We're just giving people bread and butter. That's fine. But for anyone, including the Associated Press, generally speaking, you need, like, you want a sexy lead, you want something that grabs people, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that debate, by the way, is probably one that's common for people in all sorts of walks of life, not just journalism.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode of the Can We Please Talk podcast is presented by our friends over at BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy this holiday season, I want you to give BetterHelp a try. It's time to start doing a therapy, Nick. It truly is. I want people to start talking again. This show is freaking titled Can We Please Talk? And there's no better way to start talking again through our friends over at BetterHelp. When we started talking about this partnership, Nick, and what we're going to do with the folks at BetterHelp, I know how important it is to you and I. We've talked about mental health on this show and, you know, kind of getting your mind right, but also, you know, getting your emotions out there and talking to somebody else and how important it is and the flexibility that BetterHelp offers. What do you make of our partnership with the good friends over at BetterHelp?
Yeah, I think, I mean, partnership aside, one, it's a trusted brand. You know, when we think about, for anyone that's pursuing therapy in a virtual setting, you know, BetterHelp is the leader in that. Like, it's the company you think about if you decide to pursue mental health in a virtual space, because right, they know what they're doing, right? And again, we talk about this all the time. We talk to people who know what they're talking about. We partner with people who know what they're doing. You know, we talk about health here all the time on this show. We just wrapped up the month of November, which is, you know, Men's Health Month. You know, much like your body, your mind is just as important to take care of. So we can't advocate enough on this show. Pursue mental health and pursue better health.
That's right. And listen, it gets even less expensive through the partnership that we're doing with them. If you go to betterhelp.com/canweplealtalk right now, you're going to get 10% off your first month. I want us all to start talking again. There's nobody better that's helping us accelerate that than the good folks over at BetterHelp. Head to betterhelp.com/canweplealtalk to get started today. Nick, today's episode is presented, as always, by our friends over at Fresh Roasted Coffee. Since 2009, their passion has always been bringing you gourmet coffees from all over the world, roasted fresh to order. I got my coffee snob here, Nick Saveri. Nick, tell these people, coffee snob it up here, tell these people why Fresh Roasted Coffee is so good and why they're the official sponsor of Can We Please Talk?
You know, often the best cup of coffee that you're ever going to have is the one you can make from home. And you need good quality coffee to do that. And that's what Fresh Roasted Coffee offers. You know, between single origin, between blends, flavors, anything on the coffee spectrum they've got. But more importantly, and I can't stress this enough, often when you purchase coffee, you don't know where to start. I mean, there's so many different varieties, so many different opportunities, so many different things you could choose from. And Fresh Roasted Coffee just gives you a very simple questionnaire and just says, hey, figure out what your coffee cup is. Figure out what blend works for you. I've gotten some single origin recommendations, so has Mike, and that's influenced everything. And what they recommend, you can get in a Keurig cup, the way Mike takes it. You can take it in the way I do it, which is typically through a French press, or you can get it for a percolator. Whatever coffee machine you've got, they've got you covered. But more importantly, just a huge variety and a way to learn more about coffee itself.
And all of this is available at freshroastedcoffee.com on their site. One cup is all it takes to fall in love with Fresh Roasted Coffee, but you get a discount for being a listener of Can We Please Talk. Enter in the promo code Can We Please Get 20 to get 20% off your first purchase. Head to freshroastedcoffee.com today.
Jake's an interesting guest for us because that, and this is not to, you know, blow smoke for Jake or anything when he listens to this, but Jake's become now one of the few people that when people ask me, you know, Mike, they probably ask you this too, like, oh, you have a show, like, who have you had on the show? Especially when you say news and commentary, right? You drop Jake's name, and there's usually a pause in the conversation.
Right.
There's like, wait, who? And like when I've mentioned other guests before, that's the name that people sort of pause and they're like, oh, you're not, you're part of the not effing around crew. For those who've seen The Town, you understand the comment. And that's true. That is what we are at Can We Please Talk. So, but that aside though, the book that Jake wrote was fantastic. And the conversation about, you know, where news is right now, you know, was appreciated. So I loved it. You know, on the subject of prominent faces in the news, you know, another person that comes to mind and also was on our show was Mehdi Hasan. You know, Mehdi loosened up for us and was just very conversational, but very poignant about, you know, talking about the state of journalism. And particularly one thing we asked him about was, you know, what's the difference between covering, you know, news in the US versus news overseas? Because obviously Mehdi has experience as an international reporter, not just, you know, on American television. And his breakdown of that was very enlightening. Is the U.S. we're standing on its own with performative journalism or performative spectacle at the sacrifice of journalism? Or is this potentially more of what we're seeing potentially as a global effort for journalism to be taking a step back to spectacle?
I think it's a global effort, but I think we're leading the way, sadly. I mean, it's interesting because I wear many hats, right? I'm an American. I'm also a Brit. I'm a dual citizen. I worked in the UK. I also worked for Al Jazeera. So I'm very familiar with the Middle East and Asia. And my family are from India. I'm of Indian descent. And the Indian media, I mean, Indian news channels make Fox look like NPR, right? So you look at some of the shout fests you have on right-wing Indian TV. The Modi supporters make the Trump supporters look like, you know, sandal-wearing liberals. So it is happening around the world, but I do think we've led the way in the Western world, at least. You know, the line in the UK used to be when, you know, America sneezes and Britain catches a cold. And there is this infectiousness to our politics and our media. And I think you see that in the UK, for example, there's a channel called GB News in the UK, which was launched a few years ago after I left the UK. I left in 2015. And it's a wannabe Fox. It's a wannabe news bags. It pushes, you know, British TV is heavily regulated compared to our own. So within the limits of British regulation, it pushes kind of right-wing, pseudo-populist, anti-establishment, anti-intellectual nonsense. And you can see that that is very much taken from the United States. They've tried to push anti-vax stuff, not with the same success as the US. They've definitely pushed the kind of anti-elite drain the swamp nonsense from the MAGA movement. And yet that is spreading around the world, that performative BS. Social media, of course, has pushed it around the world. You know, it's made the world much smaller.
One of the things that I mentioned, and we mentioned in the Jake episode too, because we asked him kind of a question about Mehdi's interview style. And Mehdi's known for that, right? Like we saw his interview with Vivek Ramaswamy, which was about 28 minutes in length. If anybody has not seen that, go YouTube that conversation, just because he really asked him and drilled into a platform things that he has said. And that's always Mehdi's thing. Like he's very good at either getting you to give up the jig, as people would like to say, right? Like if you don't come prepared, he's going to chew you up and spit you out. Now, of course, there's always YouTube titlings and people always say this person got owned, that person got owned. It's all subjective. But what I like about it is that he has a preparedness about him, at least when he goes into these interviews. It's really his bread and butter. And I don't know if I could do that because there is a certain confrontation element into that. And in 2024, you're going to see us interviewing some more folks that, you know, are members of Congress and things like that. But it's just, it's refreshing to see because when confronted with something, give me the honest truth here, not, you know, not something else, not some YouTube comment section. Like, give me what it is that you're trying to say here, because this is what you actually said. Let's play it for you, you know? So I did appreciate that about Mehdi. You know, I wanted to pivot because one of the coolest guests that we have had on, speaking of television, this guy's father was a legend in this business. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, We had author Luke Russert on the program, and he wrote this book called Look For Me There. And he's a former NBC correspondent, news correspondent, excuse me. He covered like Capitol Hill for like 8 years, but he got thrust into all of that after the passing of his father, when his father died, I believe back in 2013. And Tim Russert was a longtime host of Meet the Press, and he was known for his incredible interviewing style, the way he could disarm people with charm, with wit. He was just so relatable and such a big figure. And when his father had this massive heart attack overnight, Luke and the family were actually in Italy, as he tells you in the book. And so they were getting all this information. I remember this is, you know, 10, 12, 13 years ago, and they weren't getting information as fast as, you know, you would get it now and instantly, where it would be almost everywhere. Social media was just slowly becoming what it was. And now Luke has recently gotten a big job with NBC News. They're bringing him back to do something coming into the 2024 season. But he was on this book tour. He's actually a mutual friend of a few of our friends, Nick, with Marie Harf and Maura Gillespie. And I reached out to him. We were exchanging some messages. I said, listen, I would love to have you on the program. I loved your dad. I love the book. And the book is really a good read because in it, he talks about how he coped with his father's death. Now, remember, your dad dying. Yes, that's one huge thing. My dad's my best friend. But your dad being this national figure on TV that every Sunday millions of people would tune into. He talks about the way that everything after his father's death, how the community of where he grew up, how people would just come up to him randomly, just like, hey, I'm here for you. And it was so like refreshing to hear you. Like this book, for me, I cried within the first 10 pages. You will too. But I would love for people just to not only go get the book, but like listen to what Luke said about how he dealt with his father's death and how he ended up leaving the news business, even though he got thrusted into it, and the way he got thrusted into it, all from giving the eulogy that was televised for his father.
And one of the producers from one of the shows called me up. He said, you know, look, I learned so much from all these notes you put on our internal file. Why don't you do a little bit of reporting from the Hill? Just go back on air a little bit and see how it goes. And so I tried that out and I said, you know what, let's do another year of this and see how that materializes. So I started reporting from the Capitol and ended up becoming a congressional correspondent and did that for 8 years, but ultimately felt unfulfilled. And what the book is about is why I left NBC and why I felt unfulfilled. And then ultimately realizing that through travel, I became more comfortable in uncertainty, but I was doing two things. It's that I was looking for something, which the title Look For Me There. So the looking was looking for the ability to be my own person and the permission to be my own person, independent of my father and his legacy. And I was running away from something. And that was the weight of grief, which I had never processed after he died. I threw myself into a job and a career and doing everything possible to maintain his legacy, his name, and his standards. But I never really worked on myself. And that caught up to me after a number of years. So the book is that journey. There's a wanderlust, there's self-discovery, there's grief. There's a lot of universal themes that it's been so humbling to see the response for it. Where, you know, people, I've had letters from people in their 80s that have said, you know, thank you so much for writing this. It's helped me process the death of my parent from 50 or 60 years ago. That's really heartwarming stuff. So it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to.
So those are some of the guests that we've had on this show. It's been so much fun and refreshing to hear some of these folks. If you haven't picked up their books, by the way, all four of those people have written books. All four of those people have been on TV. Nora was actually a producer for Anderson Cooper at CNN. So pretty funny how we keep it in the realm of TV and books and stuff like that. As you can see the numerous books over my co-host's shoulder there. Good, a good setup. And I've got some books over here as well, too. Nick, what are you looking forward to in 2024 now as the holidays start to wrap up, the new year's coming up in a couple of days from when you're listening to this recording? Like what is something that 2024 you want to do with this show, but also like what is something that you're looking forward to, an interview? It could be anything.
You know, there's a Wall Street Journal article had just come out comparing the perceptions of Americans of the state of the country. I think it may have been particularly around economics, but in general, where the perceptions of Americans are versus reality. And specifically, one quote that was pulled out of it was that Americans, many Americans who were a part of this poll, you know, couldn't cite why specifically they had some concerns about the president, but they still felt the country was not in good shape. And now, of course, for anyone listening to the show or watching the show on YouTube, thank you for doing so. You'll know where I live on that. My outrage toward right-leaning media and painting a picture of the president that in many ways is false, as this inquiry will prove. But more importantly, you know, what I think the show can do in 2024, because there's only one thing on my mind, and it's the election. But not just the presidential election. I mean, there's many Senate seats up, congressional seats. You know, it feels as though this is one of the more pivotal elections that we've had in a long, long time. And I think in many ways it may well shape the future of this country. You know, but going into the year all the way through November and, you know, post-election, I think the focus is on how do we on this show keep an informed conversation going about what really is happening. Like talking to people, be it members of Congress, people in the media, and really put forward reality. Whether you are satisfied with the direction this country is going in or you're not satisfied, what we want to do on this show is make sure that you're informed and somewhat entertained as well. So that when you do go to the ballot box in November, that you're going in truly with closer to a more objective view of what's going on. My hope in this coming year is this year, actually in 2024, is that we continue to have this informed dialogue so that brings us to a place of all levels, economic, educational, foreign policy, anything that's on the minds of American voters that we can be able to do a deep dive and say, really what is at hand here and try to take the politics out of it. As Mike, you always talk about like moving the show away from R&D to more pivoting toward right and wrong. I want to continue to do that. But there, yeah, truly, as it relates to this show, it's really that. And, you know, aspirationally speaking, the other thing that lives with me now also is, you know, where do we want to go physically? You know, we've talked about conventions or other political events happening. You know, a couple of years back in 2022, actually, you know, we were in D.C. You know, we did a live show, had a chance to see some of our friends, listeners, and so on. Where do we want to be in 2024? You know, this show is continuing to make next great leaps forward. The brand continues to grow. So my hope is we continue to do that outwardly, get a chance to engage more with our audience, but continue to push the conversation forward that when people go into the voting booths in November of 2024, you know, we get to be a friendly voice alongside them that helps them to feel like they're making an informed decision, regardless of political affiliation, but truly give an analysis to what's going on.
You know, I will echo some of that as well, because, and I don't want to give away what we have planned for 2024. There's going to be more of me on your television screens around, you know, some of the caucuses and primaries that are going to be happening in the first few months. But we also have some other things planned, like you said, directionally for this show, because I did really enjoy our live show in DC. And in 2023, we didn't really do anything, but again, not a big political year in terms of like elections, only a few states that had gubernatorial races and things like that. 24, like Nick just alluded, every House seat is up again. Key Senate seats are up. And then obviously the presidency of the United States is up. And so we're going to be doing some stuff, probably going to be around the convention. So stay tuned for that. There's going to be some stuff on that. I'm looking forward to, obviously, 2024. We're all looking at the election, right? We all want to fast forward to November 24, but there's going to be some steps along the way. And I'm really looking forward to not only this first Iowa caucus to kind of see the way Republican voters are kind of leaning, and then what we get to New Hampshire, when the consolidation happens between DeSantis, Haley, and Christie, and Vivek, and all of them dropping out, what ends up happening? Do they all, you know, kind of merge together and try to take on Trump, or do they all, you know, kneel at the sword, if I'm using the analogy correctly, and just, you know, let Donald Trump run away with this? And then the other thing I'm really looking at, and it's stuff that I've talked to people down here about, and, you know, I let people talk, you know, it's the purpose of our show. Can we please talk, right? Recently, I was at a party, let people talk. Let me hear what you're feeling, where you're leaning. And you'd be surprised at some of the folks that are really looking at third party candidates right now. And we've talked about that so much on this show about how you might as well take that vote and throw it in the trash. But it is a feeling that people are having. And why are they having that feeling? And is this the year where, especially given former President Trump's trials that are maybe potentially televised, we don't know yet if they're going to allow that for any of the DC, the federal trials. But maybe there is with something there with seeing him on TV in court, if he's found guilty of something before the RNC convention. And if so, you know, or let's say he gets like screwed in a process or something like that, that he feels is not fair. Does he take his ball, go home and start his own run on a third party platform? And Nikki Haley's now the Republican challenger. And then now it's Nikki Haley, Trump and Biden. Like there's so many crazy scenarios that I'm just throwing out there right now that you just never know. But I'm curious to see as we get into the primaries, and shout out to our friend Mara Gillespie for mentioning this recently on Fox News, like voter turnout for Republicans is always kind of low in the primaries. I think it's going to be higher this time around. I truly do. And you're seeing more enthusiasm around this and at least more coverage and attention. So we'll be following it. You'll be hearing not only our voices on this show, but obviously seeing us in other places talking about this. And in 2024 and beyond, like I always say, we can't do it without each and every one of you that watches this show, listens to this show. You want to be a part of this show. We truly want you to be a part of it. Email us always, canwepleasetalkpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @canwepleasetalkpodcast, on Twitter @canwepleasetalkpodcast, on Twitter @canwepleasetalk, and then on TikTok @canwepleasetalkpodcast. Follow us everywhere. Follow Nick, LinkedIn, Facebook, follow me, Instagram, Twitter, just follow us, engage with us. We respond. That's one of the things. You're not going to get that kind of involvement from other hosts. We truly respond. And again, thank you for everybody this year for watching us, listening to us. Please stay safe. Have a happy holiday season. Do us a favor. Reach out to us, but also YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Audio. Subscribe everywhere. Leave us a review. We want to hear from you, and we're looking forward to a great 2024. We wish you and yours a happy and a healthy for 2023. We'll see everybody in 2024. As always, I am Mike Leon.
Brand is stronger because of all of you folks. Have a great, awesome start to 2024 and a great year throughout. I'm Nick Tavari.
That's right. Keep those resolutions, folks. We'll see everybody next time.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.